And from the small screen, you know what that award is? Emmy, right? And the large screen, Oscar. And theater, who knows the theater award? Oh, this is a theater crowd. This is our people. Okay. Oh, that's funny, because I feel more like a Grammy person myself. I have this problem of fitting in. Anyway, with the gospel readings, we're holding all of these touch points assigned to the Global Christian Church. It's called the lectionary. And we turn this week to the music of Taylor Swift and Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20, wondering what gospel lessons the church might possibly learn from Taylor Swift, who has captivated the globe since the publication of her debut album, which was in 2006. Now, I've already heard from someone who said, who will remain nameless, as will the person, this person came to church because of Taylor Swift today, and I never thought this person would come to church. So I want to say thank you, Taylor, already. Amen. First, a word to those who might feel skeptical of Miss Swift. St. Thomas Aquinas reminds us nothing is out of bounds for the theologian, for theology's true subject matter is God. And all things, Aquinas sagely points out for us, either are God, all things are God, or refer to God as their beginning and their end. Taylor Swift's influence on contemporary culture feels as omnipresent today as the church has always imagined God's presence would be. So it would seem the church might be able to learn something today from the passion. Like, I don't know if y'all have seen the passionate Taylor Swift fans. They have a name. They're called Swifties. Isn't that great? They're known as Swifties. And they have such a passion for the feel of her music, for her whole life, for her storytelling, and the remarkable ways her music meets us where we are. Dr. Beth Feller-Jones is a professor of theology in Chicago, and she shared this on what the church might learn from Gerwig's Barbie and Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, both which are happening this summer, and also Beyoncé. Beyond hot pink and bejeweled outfits, they showcase a deeper desire for community and collective joy. She writes, "My daughter, who is sometimes more reserved, was on her feet, singing all out for the whole 3 hours that Swift was on stage." That's quite a workout. She picked out her outfit months in advance, an homage to Swift, a way to place her body within the event. She took photos, which she says she's never letting go. She has gone from a school COVID-19 era of eating her lunch at a solitary table to raising her voice at Soldier Field in Chicago, united with 55,000 other people who know every single word to every single song Taylor sang. Whether you know every word to every song, or whether you're realizing you actually know very little of Taylor Swift at all, both of those things are okay. And we're going to open with our music team sharing a song from her second album, which was released when Taylor was only 19 years old. Think about what you were doing when you were 19. For the teenagers among us, we invite you to just see if you can find yourself in this song. For the adults among us, we encourage you to hold in prayer a young person in your life. What would it be like if young people found their lives centered on faith in ways that so many feel centered on Taylor Swift? Just think about that for a minute. And this song is absolutely, like we confess, a song about romantic love. But I do also wonder if sometimes we make the God of Scripture into the tame and predictable one that Taylor is singing about, and whether God might actually be more wild and crazy like the other one Taylor sings about. And I encourage you to wonder with me This is our music team inviting us into Taylor's songwriting with The Way I Loved You.
I invite us to be seated. This obviously comes from early in Taylor Swift's life. She was sharing out of the country genre, and her music evolves. At that moment in time, she's sharing about romantic love and relationships and heartbreak. And actually, she continues to share about those things as well into her current songs. She shared this, though, about that song. I got this idea for a song about being in a relationship with a nice guy who's punctual and opens up the door for you and brings you flowers, but you feel nothing. The whole time you're with him, you're thinking about the guy who was complicated and messy and frustrating. And I just kept listening to this particular song over and over this week in all of Taylor Swift's music, thinking about the ways that we in church tend to tame God in those same ways, that we want to put God in this box, to show up on time and to say the right word to me. And yet the God of Scripture comes at us over and over, more like the mess of a roller coaster. And so I just invite us to hold that image as we move in these ways. Taylor's music is rooted in her own experience. It's rooted in what she is feeling, the relationships that she is moving in, and her songs feel like a diary set to song, a diary set to music. And the church has often veered from the messiness of romantic love, and it has tried to root us in a deeper sense of what we talk about as agape love, to center us there. But much of the music of our tradition, similarly, like Taylor Swift's, comes from our experience, from things that happen in our lives, often everyday things like what Swift is writing about over and over. So these songs or hymns that we tend to think of as the great songs of our tradition actually emerged as someone was seated like Taylor Swift, reflecting on their experience of everyday life. One of those hymn writers from several centuries ago, George Matheson, he wrote in a journal, "My hymn was composed in the manse of Inelin on the evening of the 6th of June, 1882. He says, something happened to me which was known only to myself and which caused me the most severe mental suffering. And the hymn was the fruit of that suffering." Like Swift, Matheson's allows lyrics to emerge by going deep into his own experience of hurt, of brokenness, of suffering, heartbreak, as Swift sings about it. And so we may not be as loud and passionate as those fans in Soldier Field. There were a lot of them, 55,000. But I do want to invite you to let go of whatever might inhibit you from joining in song together. And we're going to sing Matheson's hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." So I invite you to rise as you're willing or able, and we'll share this song together.
Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer flow be. Oh, light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy own sunshine's blazed stay may brighter flare. That seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I chase the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. Cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust that's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms rare, life that shall live. Shall endless be.
Amen. I invite you to be seated. This morning, we begin a new year for children with our ministry that we call Godly Play. We are so grateful to have Reverend Jackie Courtwright helping to watch over our children's ministries this school year, along with Emily Gardner. Jackie is a retired pastor in the United Church of Christ, and Emily is part of our administrative board, and together they are helping to watch over a team of amazing teachers. And we're first going to invite those teachers. I'm not sure who all. Victor is here, so please, would you guys make your way up here? Angel is going to make her way, and Jacob, Johnny is here with a new baby. There is Jackie coming this way. Here comes Jan. Emily, I do not see you, but I see Michael. You look great, Michael. It's nice to see you too.
Sort of stand in the middle, Jackie and Angel. Yeah, and then you guys go on either side.
Peter is up here. Thank you,
Peter.
I'm going to talk to the families for just a moment as our beautiful teachers gather here. You'll see our teaching teams on our website, and you can learn more about our ministry. At 9:30, which is our time of worship right now, we will send children upstairs into two Godly Play sanctuaries. Our youngest friends that are like four-ish all the way to around second grade. These are really, we don't do boundary lines real strictly here at the table. Those are loose numbers. You'll work it out together. You're going to be in our youngest classroom in Angel and Peter will be in there this morning. And our older friends, like second grade and up, all the way through sixth grade in elementary school, will be with Victor. And Jacob is there this morning as well. So we are so grateful to move in that direction. For families, so that you know, we are going to take an offering this year as part of our Godly Play ministry. That offering will go to Mustard Seed, which is a school for children who are experiencing homelessness here in Sacramento. And so you can share generously from your resources with your children through the offering and Godly Play. And if you don't have coins or dollars, which who carries those these days, it's okay. Matt is in the back, and Matt is going to hand out coins. You look great, Matt. You have no coins? Oh, Matt. We have coins. We'll give them to you, and you pass them out. Matt's ready now. Oh, we're going to pass them out upstairs is the correction on that. Matt will still help us.
And that's why Jackie's in charge.
That's why Jackie's in charge, not me. Correct.
Yeah. Throughout our history, God has raised up teachers, mentors, prophets, and guides to lead and instruct the people of faith. And we are thrilled to have the adults and teenagers take their place in this long line of love by serving over this new school year as Godly Play storytellers and doorkeepers with our children. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, and I'll help you with the answers, just in case you go blank, which is what happens to me often when I get in front of people. Teachers, storytellers, doorkeepers, will you reach in love by sharing yourself and your gifts in the ministry of Godly Play? If so, say we will. Will you stay in love with God by telling the stories of our faith to our children so that they will become more fully aware of the mystery of God's presence in their lives? If so, say we will. And now we have a time for all of us that'll be up on the screen. I invite you to stand as you are willing and able, and let us share our thanks. Here we go. We give thanks for the way in which you are reaching in love on behalf of our community of faith. May you grow in faith as you wonder and learn alongside our children. We will endeavor to pray for you and support you in the months to come.
Amen.
Amen. I would just add, it's time for like public school too, and all of our teachers and all of our administrators. Amen. And all of our students. If we all started with a blessing like that, right? So let's keep all of this in our heart and be vehicles for God's love to support all.
Our musicians are going to help us with a little walking music, and our teachers are going to make their way toward the back, and Sarnit will help us. We will find our way and our children up to our Godly Play sanctuaries.
You may be seated and help those little ones out of the pews. Thank you. know that families are walking, some of them, children into godly play, and that then those adults will come back in and we'll still be doing church. So let's all just be aware of that and make it easy for people to shimmy down those pews, because pews are just so easy, right? Yeah. Oh, those are great sounds. The life and music of Taylor Swift has not just something to teach the global Christian church about what passion looks like and how to meet young generations by entering deeply into the realities they experience, but her witness has lessons, we think, for our eclectic little community of faith here known as The Table. In other words, it's not just for the whole community, it's for us here in this place too. Taylor Swift moved from her childhood home in Pennsylvania to Nashville when she was 13 years old. Her family was uprooting to support Taylor's dream, and Tennessee became home for her. So, when Marsha Blackburn's Tennessee Senate campaign opposed basic human rights for LGBTQIA people, Taylor Swift took a stand. A 2020 documentary that anyone can watch, I think, is called Miss Americana. And it shows Taylor Swift breaking from her advisors, even her own dad, saying, "I can't see another commercial and see Marsha Blackburn disguising these policies behind the words Tennessee Christian values, because those aren't Tennessee Christian values. I live in Tennessee. I'm a Christian. That's not what we stand for." Taylor matures into taking a stand. She gets in touch in new ways about what matters to her and how to claim her voice and her authority. Who might we be called to stand for today? Earlier this summer, Swift gave bonuses, maybe you read about it, totaling more than $55 million to those that were working with her on her Eras tour. And that included her dancers, her riggers, her sound technician, her caterers, and even her truck drivers. What might generosity look like for all of us sitting here today?
Taylor Swift produced her seventh album in 2019. It's called Lover. It includes the song that she says is the most emotionally difficult song that she's ever worked on. It's a song, from what I can gather, she's only shared in public one time. She wrote this song as her own mom was facing cancer treatments. And if you know Swift's life, you know how close she is to her mom and their journey together and how that has shaped her. It feels like this song may have a word for many of us in this community who have accompanied others with cancer over these last times, over these last months, over these last years. It feels like it has something for me as we've accompanied you over this time.
Thank you. So
we've asked our music team to share this emotionally difficult song to say out loud, and we are grateful that they're gonna try. So this is our music team sharing Taylor Swift's Soon You'll Get Better.
Thank you.
I know I'll never get it. There's not a day that I won't try. And I say to you, of hoping. I keep saying it because, 'cause I have to.
Amen. Sometimes those everyday things take us into those hard places of accompanying people we love as we face unknowns and uncertainties, and we try to do our best to sing a hope that might guide us through. Our church has so many readings that take us into those everyday places. And it turns out, if you've listened to the music of Swift, or if you've lived for more than a few days, you know that life takes us into conflicts. It takes us into challenging relationships. It's not just the pain that comes up with mom experiencing that, but it also is navigating the relationships with siblings or with the neighbor that we don't always get along with. So here's a reading that the church has assigned for this day. This is assigned to the Global Christian Church in what's called the lectionary. It's a three-year cycle of readings. And so I invite you to hear these words. This is Jesus sharing with the disciples in Matthew 18, and I think it'll be on the screen. You can follow along if you'd like. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen, then tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my parents in heaven, for where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The music of Taylor Swift, Across the Eras, tends to move in the normal stuff of relationships, of heartbreak, of finding oneself, and, like this reading from the Gospel of Matthew, into navigating conflict. And while we may be tempted to avoid conflict, or at least I am at times, Jesus reminds us that avoidance and evasion aren't actually good options. Encourages us to go directly to the source of the issue. And Swift's music seems to follow this directive over and over and over. Instead of gossiping about those with whom we're in conflict, Jesus longs for the followers around him to communicate directly And Swift's music is often a reflection upon her own experience with conflicted relationships. The songs echo the messiness of what happens when you try to communicate directly with another person about conflict. And when one-on-one approaches fail, Jesus in the gospel, at least as it's written, reminds us to take an outsider or a third-party perspective. This might help us to find common ground or a way forward. And Swift's albums could be case studies in this kind of taking steps towards healing and repair, and even at times what the church talks about as reconciliation. And then finally, Jesus shares in an often misinterpreted, to me, final step. See, on the surface in this step, Jesus seems to say that it's okay, ultimately, to dismiss or excommunicate someone that is unrepentant to the offender. Here's the verse. Let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Like those who insist on destructive behaviors are given a clear message to stop, to step away. Yet, here's the misinterpretation. How often does Jesus show up with his disciples giving really clear 3 or 4 step directions? Not very often. So it is possible that that's what's happening in this case, and he means treat the folks that haven't repented as tax collectors and send them out. But then if you hold at all for a moment in Jesus' ministry, what does Jesus do with Gentiles or tax collectors? He goes to them and welcomes them in. So what if this simple directive, it seems like 5 clear verses about how to navigate conflict, might actually be more of a parable that opens us up into deeper understandings of what can happen when conflicted relationships get transformed by God into new ways of being together? The poet David White shares a provocative image, at least it is for me, about the hope of forgiveness in our own lives. And so I want to invite you to hear from David White. This is Seska sharing some of his work on forgiveness. Let's watch.
Forgiveness is a heartache and difficult to achieve because, strangely, it not only refuses to eliminate the original wound, but actually draws us closer to its source. To approach forgiveness is to close in on the nature of the hurt itself, the only remedy being, as we approach its raw center, to reimagine our relation to it.
Swift's album titled Evermore is an album that takes us in to what David White is writing about, into the experience of the hurt that we were holding in the earliest days of pandemic. And so I want to invite us to listen as our music team shares the title track to that album, a song which takes us into the mess of pandemic and helps us, we hope, to find our way through challenging, conflicted relationships, challenging, conflicted times. Taylor Swift's Evermore takes us close in to the nature of the hurt itself, and invites us to wonder as well if the only remedy for this might be to approach its raw center and reimagine our relation to it. So let's listen.
Since July,
December. Guess I'm feeling hurt. Can't remember what I used to fight for. I rewind the tape, but all it does is pause on the very moment I was lost, sending signals to be double crossed. And I was catching my breath, barefoot in the wildest winter, catching my death. And I couldn't be sure.
Taylor Swift's Eras Tour is sweeping our world. The shows are a pilgrimage for countless fans and a rediscovery of the joys of mass gatherings. Remember those. She literally crashed Ticketmaster. Her Seattle concert registered on the Richter scale. I'm serious. The weatherman said it. It's a 44-plus song production. It's over 3.5 hours long. And it's a journey through Swift's evolution as a singer and a songwriter, and a reminder to all of us and the world that she is not finished yet. Which leaves me to wonder if the same might be true for us. When you consider the evolution of your faith, what era of the faith journey might you be right now letting go of for yourself? And then What era of your faith journey might you right now be ready to step into? And this question, just to take with you today, what album title, when you think of that era that you're ready to step into, would you give to the era of faith you're entering? For me, it was, you can't always get what you want. We did this in kitchen table. Yeah. So for yourself, you can make up a title. Or maybe there's one that comes to you right away like it did for me.
Isn't the following line, but you get what you need?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I get what I need. Okay. Thank you.
As Linda and I were holding those questions about the eras that so many young people and people of all ages really, and for those of us that don't have $800 plus airfare to go hear Taylor Swift, she will be coming to theaters near us in just a couple weeks from now. We can see that tour ourselves.
Is that Eleanor's birthday party?
Let's not put that live streamed, but that could be. We'll have to cut that, Corey. But just as Taylor Swift is singing through the eras of her own journey and discerning in each of those, just hold how much pressure and power is in that moment to give a title to the era that you're in. And then to let go of that era and enter into another one. And actually, that seems to be what happens at the table every time we come here. The table itself represents Jesus standing between two eras. There's the era of accompanying those disciples, bumbling around, trying to find their way. What does it look like to disrupt empire and the ways that church gets complicit in harming people and to call us into a deeper freedom? And then the bread and the cup become that transition from one era to the next. And so this morning we approach the table holding, letting go of one era and then holding on to the God that might be inviting us into a new life together of freedom and love and healing. So we prepare our hearts and minds in the church to come to the table, to enter that new era by pausing to pray. And so I invite us to stand and we'll do that together.
Let us pray. God of power and grace, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me.
I should not be left to my own devices. They come with prices and vices. Did you hear my covert narcissism? I disguise as altruism. I'll stare directly at the sun, but never in the mirror. Forgive me. Forgive us, we pray.
Friends, God's story actually in many ways is a love story, but not the kind of love that so often we settle for. God looks upon us in all our contradictions. God knows the ins and outs of all of our diary entries, it's true. And those written down and those we hold close in our hearts and try to keep covered up, God looks on all of this with eyes of love and forgiveness and says, may you feel God's love, my love, as God says it, now and always, evermore. Amen.
Amen. And I invite us to join in the call and response, the church's practice for recognizing the belovedness of each and every part of creation around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
Lift them up to the Lord.
in the beginning, in that first era, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the sculptor, God the songwriter touched the swirling mass, and God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit began to grow ripe, and to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves in the water, and God reached to the sky and things with wings took flight. And God looked upon this and said, This is good. And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, you're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, is good. But it didn't feel like it would be good evermore. God's people started to wander away and to write songs to one another that didn't always hold God's love at the heart of who we were. So God reached inside God's own passion and love and heart and pulled out a song that the people might sing evermore. God named that song Jesus and set Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be and to call us to love one another.
Did all that he could to share songs with us of God's love and to show us how to sing in harmony. But we couldn't accept that and we couldn't agree about them. And we wrote songs of our own, the principalities and powers that uplifted that tune that lure us against the way made known in the life and ministry and love of Jesus. And in the end, Jesus is given away by the very ones who thought they were singing along the very best. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them and promises all of us that he will never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those longest ago companions, we don't always stand the message that Jesus brings to us or what is coming and going and coming again means for us, but we can be grateful. And we can sing the mystery and the songs of our faith. Gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal, the bread and the cup, and he blessed them both. And he gave thanks to God, and he said, I am sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather in remembrance of me. Us into prayer together with the words Jesus shared with his close companions. The church has changed that and it has been passed down through the generations, but we call it the Lord's Prayer. And I invite you to use the language most dear and true as you address God that is in your heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered here and over these gifts. Make these gifts your body and your love, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, your hope alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone. We encourage those at home who are with us to light a candle, to gather close to you right now, whatever you are choosing to use for your communion, juice and bread. For those of us here in the sanctuary, we want you to know there'll be a stations up here and in the rear of the sanctuary. Everyone is welcome also to take time in prayer, kneeling or standing around the perimeter of the sanctuary, or simply staying where you are in your pew. The way we share this meal is by taking a piece of bread off the plate and dipping it in the cup. And we also trust that this can be kind of like a little intimidating if you've never done anything like this before. For many of us, it's a life practice. Most of us are somewhere in between there. So we are kind and watch over one another in love in this divine dance. There's nothing you can do to mess this up. Please remember that. On the plate, there is bread that was baked for us this weekend, and there is a dish that has crackers without gluten in them. In the cup, there is always grape juice.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup of God's love and forgiveness poured out for all. we encourage those praying with candles to stay for just as long as you desire in a spirit of prayer. God, for this holy mystery, this divine dance through which you are revealed to creation in the breaking of bread and the sharing of a cup, we give you our thanks. May your love bind us together and strengthen us that we might follow your lead into the world as people who live ways of peace, liberation, love, and justice. Amen. We hope that you will wonder about what next steps God might have in store for you. Many of us make giving commitments to help support the life and the ministries of this church, to help our ways of being in the world to align with God's love, and we can do that online. You can do that by texting. We are sharing a gift with the United Methodist Committee of Relief on Relief this week. We're processing that check for $4,300 to help those recovering from fires in Hawaii, and it is because of the generosity of all of you in this way that we are able to reach in love, to respond quickly when the world hurts in the ways that it finds itself. And so we give thanks for the ways that you join together and that our resources collectively join with others to be part of God's healing in the world. Pastor Linda and I will be teaching a number of different Growing in Faith series. Some of those are starting to fill up. We encourage you to find those online and to see which one might work best for your schedule. If there are others around you who might want to learn about sharing life together in this way, we would commend that. There's a retreat in Davis, a six-week series that's coming up here, and then also a six-week series out in Davis as well. So there'll be lots of ways that you can join that. We have been farming alongside neighbors in Hollywood Park for the last 3 years. Early in pandemic, we joined with a farm that had been there in Hollywood Park in the back of St. Robert's School. It's a parish in Hollywood Park. And Andy is leading our team along with so many volunteers. And we have a short message from Andy that we want to share with you all today.
Hi, everyone. It is Andy. I am the community gatherer out here at Table Farm. And on Saturday, September 16th, from 9 to 12, we will be preparing this space to move to a new space. And so if you are available, we would love to have you join us. And more than anything, this will just be an opportunity to say goodbye to this land that so many of us have grown to love over the years. And also just, yeah, share the memories that we have made out here at Table Farm. And so if you're available, we would love to have you join us. And you can sign up on Planning Center. The title for this event is called Help Us Begin Again. And if you need any support signing up, I am more than happy to help you. But yeah, we hope to see you out here. Bye, everyone.
Andy and others will be outside at our Next Steps table, or for those that are online, you can find it on our website. We do have kind of some strange news to share. So we've been preparing for the last, 8 months, because St. Robert let us know that they were going to be selling the land that we've been farming because they need to redevelop that land. Well, they're choosing to develop that land to address deferred maintenance. This is the story of so many churches around us. How do we sell things so that we can just survive? We got an email from Father Mike Thursday night, like around midnight. He's out of the country, and he says, our plans might possibly be changing. I'll be back in a month, and can we talk about it then? So here's the deal. Well, we don't know what the deal is. Here's our hope. We hope we're going to keep farming at Table Farm and that St. Robert might see the ways that God is bringing people together to create amazing community and to grow food and give that away through an interfaith food bank. And maybe they'll want to take a bigger role in that. Maybe they even have more land. Maybe they're going to say, let's like keep going. Let's make the farm bigger. But we're still going to meet on September 16th, and I hope you'll still sign up, because we're not going to tear down the shed, and we're not going to tear down the greenhouse. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to turn over all of the beds for cover crops. And so we still need your help. We'll still bless the land, and we'll add a different blessing, like, please God, let us stay on the land, instead of we're going to say goodbye to it, and we'll go from there. And maybe we'll know more by September 16th as well. So we hope to see you out there 9 a.m. till noon. If you can work hard and you have shovels, we would love to have you. And if you can't, you can just encourage and cheer folks along, and that is needed as well. And so we commend that to you. Pastor Linda and I are going to lead a session here in the sanctuary after worship next Sunday. Next Sunday's worship, here's my favorite story from this morning. A parent was walking here with their child, and their child said to them, we have to hurry. I don't want to miss Taylor Swift. And the parent had to break it to the child, Taylor's not going to be there, but we do have you all. And I would come running to hear. And next Sunday is Ted Lasso, which Taylor Swift may not do it for all of us, but Ted Lasso makes me want to come early because I don't want to miss that. For our families that have children that are in Godly Play, we want to encourage you to think of the Godly Play space not as a classroom so much, but as a sanctuary. And so we invite you to go up, but to trust the doorkeepers, and some of them are teenagers, some of them are adults, but to trust that they'll be ready to send your child out to you when they're ready, just like you'll leave the sanctuary when you're ready to, instead of just going right into that space. Let's try to hold that space in all of its sacredness with our children and to do our best to wait for them to come out to us, and the teachers will do their best to send them out. I know there's a little San Francisco game going on, but you can look on your phone, Matt. You'll be fine. All right, I want to invite us to stand because we're going to shake it off. Send us out. So, friends, may you go from this place holding your own life story, the song that God is writing in your heart, noticing what God might need you to let go of, what era you might be called to leave behind, and then living deeply into the love of God that is calling you to new life. May that be your song and our song now and always. Amen. Shake, shake, shake.